Many of us find it easy to identify with that disciple who came one day to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And of course, we identify with that disciple because we all know that prayer is important in our lives. But the trouble is, so often we simply go on using words and phrases. We go through all the motions of praying, but nothing seems to happen. And then we become discouraged. Today, we say, Lord, teach us to pray. And when we look to Jesus for our prayer instruction, we discover now what it was that the Apostle Paul meant when he said, to pray without ceasing. To pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. Now, when reading Holy Scriptures, we see that throughout all of the Gospels, the example of Jesus at prayer is always the same. Before he began his active ministry, Jesus spent 40 days and nights out in the desert wilderness, all alone, in prayer to the Father. And before he chose his disciples, Jesus again needed to be alone in prayer. On the Mount of the Transfiguration, when he had to make a very important decision about his ministry, Jesus needed to be alone in prayer. And in the upper room with his disciples, on the very last night of his life, Jesus was in prayer. And we just heard the words of the prayer in today's gospel. And then the next day at the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, the first day of his work to the very last day on the cross, Jesus is always found praying to the Father. In order to understand this mystery, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus came to us primarily to bring us the good news about God our Father, the source of our life from moment to moment. That whatever else it might be that we all think about God our Father, he is for you. The Father loves you infinitely, Jesus says, and his love is always at work within you, in your heart, and around you, constantly calling you into union with himself, so that in this union with God our Father, we will eventually achieve the kind of wholeness of our life, ultimately, that we will find, but in no other way except through prayer. And that is why it is called the pearl of great price, something we look for all of our lives. The most important thing in life is to be in this kind of loving, prayerful relationship with God our Father. The problem with so many of us is that it is still some kind of an idea that is still skirting around the edges of our mind. It has not yet been interiorized in our heart. It is not yet something that we have experienced with our whole total being. And yet Jesus is constantly helping us to understand that prayer is essential for being able to interiorize this concept of this union with God that we seek. Being able concretely to experience the presence of God in our ongoing daily life. Now the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, gives us all a lesson in biblical psychology. He helps us to understand that each one of us is made up of three principal parts. He tells us, first of all, there is our body. The Greek word for body in the New Testament is soma. You can all see your body. It is there. You know how much time it takes you to feed it, to rest it, to dress it, to keep it running, to try to make it feel good. A great deal of our life is spent centered around our body. But then Paul says that there is another part of you that is far more important than your body, and that is your psyche, or your interior being. There's a whole universe within you that is made up of your feelings and your thoughts and motivations, your dreams, your fantasies, all of your hopes, your imagination. And so it's obvious that to be in touch with your psyche, or this inner being, is of very great importance to all of us. It's important to know what you look like on the inside, as well as what you look like physically on the outside. And that is why nowadays medical science and religion speak so very much about holistic medicine, and the fact that your psyche within can make your soma, body, sick. Guilt, fear, anxiety in your inner life can literally make your body sick. And when this happens, the pills and the other kinds of therapy can remove some of the symptoms. But you will not be cured completely until your psyche, your inner spirit, is healed. Psychosomatic, then, is a word that nowadays we use a great deal. Now, having said all of that, Paul goes on to tell us that there's still a third part, another part of us, that is even more important than your psyche or your soma, as far as your ultimate fulfillment is concerned. And he says that is your spirit, or your pneuma, which is the New Testament Greek word for spirit. Pneuma, spirit, as in pneumatic. Your spirit, he tells us, is at the very center of your being, the very center of your soul, if you will. And Paul says, your spirit is the point at which the Holy Spirit of God is in direct contact with you. And he says that what happens in prayer is that you are then making direct spiritual contact with the living God. God's Holy Spirit and your spirit enter into union. And that is the meeting point that Jesus talks about whenever he says that God is within us like a spring of water that wells up eternally. Our living God dwells within us like a spring of water that is always there to refresh us. Our spirit in prayer is in contact with the Spirit of God. And until we learn how to make this God connection of our spirit and God's spirit, everything else will remain sound and fury, signifying nothingness. It means that your work and your relationships, all of your concern about the future, your health, none of these things, as important as they are, have any genuine significance for your life until you have been able to relate them to this mysterious union with our God that takes place at the point of your spirit. And it is always prayer that makes it possible. Jesus needed that kind of prayer to be in contact with the Father. And if Jesus needed it, how much more do we? Now, this conscious contact of our spirit with the Spirit of God is usually not an overwhelming kind of experience. Most of the time, it is barely perceptible. And yet, we must always be ready and waiting. The one who asks always receives. The one who searches will always find. The one who knocks will always have the door opened. And so Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all of you who simply ask? And that's when we must remember that Jesus is not a remote past. The Spirit of Jesus is an immediate presence now, a power that is available at any moment, alive and active, as a two-edged sword. And it is Jesus alone who always will keep his promise. And so it is not enough then simply to think about prayer, to read about it, or simply to go on practicing the prayers of our childhood. We've grown up. Praying is like swimming. We learn by doing it. It is like friendship and like love. It's a work of one's entire whole life. It's a marriage that is continually being lost and being found. And when we people pray as a Christian people, we must begin to understand that it is the Spirit of Jesus within us who is praying within us to the Father. It is He, the Spirit of the risen Jesus, inviting us and calling us to prayer. We never do it on our own. And this presence of Jesus within us is that powerful, compelling force that is always there, like a spring of water. And above all, it is now, in the mysterious prayer of the Eucharist, that the risen Jesus renders us more and more present to Him and to one another and to His Spirit in ourselves.